gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Chalk Talk.
Black 88! Black 88!
Football season is here, and the football talk never stops on Penguin Radio. We'll take a look at the NFL by reviewing some of last week's biggest matchups and moments from around the league, while also getting you ready for next Sunday.
Rodgers gets the snap. Blitz is on. Rodgers scrambles.
He's
left. Winds up. Rainbow.
He's got Cobb at the 10 to the 5.
Yes!
To the end zone. Touchdown.
We've got you covered on campus as well, as we will take a look at everything going on in the NCAA. From the rankings to some of last week's biggest upsets.
James, the lateral. To the corner.
And now, radio.dominican.edu and Penguin Radio presents Chalk Talk. Here is your host, Jeff Safford. Good afternoon and welcome to Chalk Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Great to have you with us here this afternoon for our first version of Chalk Talk for this semester. We'll be here with you for the next 10 weeks here on Penguin Radio. Again, I'm Jeff Safford. I'm your host. This should be a fun semester. We've already had a lot of fun going on in the football world. We're going to start our show off today with some NFL talk, break down the game from last night, Monday Night Football. We're going to talk about all the rest of the week two games, recap what happened, and talk about week three and some of the other storylines going on in the National Football League. And then we're also going to give you some predictions for week three as well. Next segment of the show, we're going to move into the NCAA, and we're going to talk about the incident over at Texas Christian University with the two players involved with the law for the wrong reasons. You would think at a Christian university they'd be able to behave themselves, but nah, maybe not so much. And we'll hit on the crazy week three of college football that we had last week. Wow, that was really entertaining, and we might have another really great week on our hands coming up in week four in college football, and we'll break down all of those games for you as well. So that's going to be our show for this afternoon, and we're going to be going till 5 o'clock. Or a few minutes before, where we'll be going to Uncovered. We'll be coming up next from 5 to 6 p.m. Uncovered, that is a new show on cover artists from YouTube. Kind of an interesting subject matter, so make sure you stay tuned for that. All right. So the first thing, I guess, with the NFL we should talk about today are the couple of injury reports that have come out. We'll start by talking about Drew Brees. Drew Brees, it is confirmed that he has a bruised rotator cuff in his left shoulder, which he played with a little bit last week, and he is optimistic that he will be able to go out there this Sunday against the Panthers in a game that's really pretty important for the Saints, with them being 0-2, and they don't want to drop a game in the division and move back to 0-3. The statistics definitely would not be in the Saints' favor for them to be able to bounce back and make it back to the postseason. Then, of course, Tony Romo injured his collarbone last Sunday against the Eagles. He will be out for a very long time, and he was put on the injured reserve list for the Cowboys, so he will not be able to return until at least late November. So Brandon Weeden is going to be the guy for Dallas going forward as their starting quarterback. Now, we all know where Brandon Weeden came from, or maybe some of you don't know, but Brandon Weeden was a very high draft pick coming out of Oklahoma State 2 years ago, and kind of comes from a similar background that Russell Wilson does, in that he kind of started with football in college, and then decided, and he was also a baseball player, and he decided to pursue the baseball opportunity for a couple of years. And the baseball thing didn't really turn out, so he ended up going back to school and started playing football again. And by the time he was starting quarterback for the Cowboys of Oklahoma State, he was in his late 20s. So even though he's only been in the league for a couple of years, he's already 30 years old, which is kind of a interesting conundrum. But if you're the Cowboys, at least you got a guy that has NFL game experience ready to play for you. But on the other end of the spectrum, Dez Bryant is going to be out. Sounds like a long time. Initially, they said around 4 to 6 weeks, but now they're saying more like 8 to 10, which might be really tough. And to top it all off, Jason Witten will also be out possibly this week. He has got two nagging ankle sprain injuries, and let's see, and a knee sprain as well. So he's beat up. He's not sure if he's going to be able to play. So, man, think about that for the Cowboys. They lose DeMarco Murray in free agency to the Eagles, and he hasn't done much with Philadelphia, but we'll just forget about that for the minute. And they lose Romo, and you lose Dez Bryant, and you might lose Jason Witten. So you got four of the best offensive players on your team not playing. And I mean, obviously one went via free agency, but still, that's a lot of firepower to have to make up for. And this week it's not going to be easy for Dallas as they head on the road to go play Atlanta. And Atlanta has looked pretty good this year, and Matty Ice has looked like a elite quarterback, and throwing to Julio Jones looks like one of the best receivers in the league. And the two young running backs for the Falcons have done a pretty nice job in the first 2 weeks. Coleman will be missing this week with a broken rib. He'll be out a week or two, it sounds like. But Devontae Freeman has also gotten a lot of carries, and he has looked pretty good as well. And he will get the load on Sunday against the Cowboys, and that'll be an interesting thing to see how he does in a role where he is the one that's going to be getting the bulk of the carries. He's not going to have to be playing in this committee backfield with Coleman any longer. Now, looking to another team that may be looking to get off the schneid after last night, the Indianapolis Colts. My goodness, that was an ugly performance last night. And if I were a Colts fan, I'd be extremely, I wouldn't say panic button, but it would definitely be a little bit concerning. And really, to be quite honest with you, I don't think the big concern with this Colt team coming into this season was the defense, and would they be able to hold up enough for the offense. And really, the defense, I didn't think, looked too bad last night. They were able to force turnovers, and for as bad as the offense played, they were able to keep them in the game. I mean, it was 10-0 for the longest time. And, you know, so you can't really fault your defense too much for the performance last night, but 5 turnovers is just simply too much, and uncharacteristic turnovers as well. But how often do you see Frank Gore fumble the football? You don't see that very often, especially not on the goal line like he did. And it was kind of bizarre how he lost the ball. It was just kind of seemed like it just slipped right out of his hand. And you got to give credit to the New York Jets as well, as they were able to get pressure on Andrew Luck, and they forced a couple of those interceptions as well, getting right into their face. And also Wilkerson was able to tip one of Andrew Luck's passes, which kind of made it come out as kind of a wobbler and ended up getting intercepted by, I believe it was Darrell Revis who intercepted that one. But the Colts, they're sitting at 0-2, and they're, and it's kind of the interesting thing is there are a number of teams sitting at 0-2 that are big surprises. The Colts being one, the Seattle Seahawks, they went up to Lambeau Field and lost to the Packers. They're sitting at 0-2. And the Ravens are sitting at 0-2. They kind of got shocked in week one, or got shocked on Sunday by losing to the Oakland Raiders after the Raiders looked really like one of the worst teams in the NFL the previously week against the Bengals, as the Bengals and Tyler Eifert were just able to dominate that game and really blow the Raiders out of the water. Before they even looked, it was 31-0. It was all over, and Derek Carr got injured, and everything was looking so doom and gloom. And then next Sunday rolls around, Amari Cooper gets a 69-yard touchdown. Derek Carr has a good afternoon, and things are looking a little bit up in Oakland. And now the Ravens, after two straight losses, will come back home licking their wounds a little bit. And, you know, and sometimes that's what you need is a little home cooking, especially when you're a team like the Ravens, who in recent history have been a team that is very good playing at home in front of their home crowd. And, you know, it's something that's a little bit confusing, because you always think of, I guess I shouldn't say confusing, it's something you don't really think a lot about, because you think of the Ravens as a road team with Joe Flacco having the success he's had on the road in the playoffs. But nonetheless, they're still a very good road team, but they're playing a very good team this week as well, as they're facing up against the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals are a team that I think there's not a reason in the world, the way they played the last 2 weeks, that they can't win that division, even with the Steelers. If Andy Dalton keeps playing the way he has been the last 2 weeks, I think he will really shut up a lot of his critics. Obviously, he's gotten a lot of flack for his performances in big games, or he's had some inconsistent play where he's had games where he's had a lot of interceptions, and the lack of victories in the playoffs with the whole streak of, you know, they've made the playoffs the last couple of years but get bounced in the first round and blah, da, da, da. I think if they keep playing the way they are right now, they can definitely do it. They have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, two great running backs, A.J. Green on the outside. Eifert, if he's healthy, is one of the best tight ends in the league. And Dalton just slinging it around. And then, you know, don't forget about that Cincinnati defense. Their front seven is very good, and they got some good young talent back there along with some veteran guys as well. I won't bring up Adam Pacman Jones. And the last team on the list of kind of surprising 0-2 is the Eagles. And the Eagles are another team that just looked ugly on Sunday. And they just are not playing. And Chip Kelly said he was just flat out embarrassed by their performance. And I can see why. I mean, on Sunday, they were just out of sync. Their offense just didn't have a flow and a tempo. And they just, frankly, could not run the ball. They had less than 10 yards rushing for the entire game for the team, which is unbelievable, especially when you have such talented backs. I mean, Darren Sproles is your third string running back, for crying out loud. I mean, you got Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray. They should be able to figure something out, and some experienced guys up front that have played in the Chip Kelly system for a couple of years, so they should be able to get something going. And really, the Eagles just need to play a little bit more like Chip Kelly's last squad, the Oregon Ducks. They need to, you know, get the tempo up. They need to run a lot of plays. Time of possession is not all that important. It's the number of plays. They want to run a lot of plays at you. They want to run you down. And by the time the third or fourth quarter comes, the idea is that the opposing defense is just completely gassed. And just can't do anything to stop you. And that's kind of the MO of Oregon's football program as well. You see, it's kind of a historical thing where they've been, you know, they've started a little bit slow or let teams kind of hang around. They go into the half and they come out of half and boom, and they hit them in the mouth and they score 21 points in 5 seconds or 5 seconds in 5 minutes and the game's over in blur, you know, in a blur before you can even blink. And there's no reason that Chip Kelly and this Eagles team can't do that. They got the pieces to do it, and I believe that they can do it, and this week will be a great time for them to start. They're playing against a tough team, you know, a team that's tough in the trenches, a team that's playing with some confidence now after coming off 2 straight wins. To clarify, that team is the New York Jets, and there's no reason in my mind that they can't go up there and get a win. And the other guy that needs to definitely play better is Sam Bradford, and he's not, even though their offense is probably more driven to the run, that doesn't mean Sam Bradford doesn't need to be on point. And he needs, because there are certain things that he will have to read in that offense to make things successful. There are certain plays where Sam Bradford will have a run-pass option, and he'll have to read what the better play is. Should I keep the ball and run with it myself? Should I give it to Murray or whoever the back is, or should I flip it out to the outside to Matthews or Josh Huff or Riley Cooper or one of those tall, fast wide receivers that the Eagles have out on the outside? So it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles do. Interesting how teams do, like the Cowboys, in the face of injury, and see how some of these 0-2 teams bounce back. So we're going to head to our first break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you some NFL Week 3 predictions and some things to look for, and then we'll be headed to our NCAA section. So you are listening to Chalk Talk. We're just going to take a quick break, and we'll join you after these quick messages. Stay with us.
5 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up. Make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa, now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Chalk Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We just, we were talking about some NFL stuff, just storylines from around the league and injuries and where teams will be headed. And now we're going to be predicting what will actually be happening in week three. And then we're going to take a break. And after that, we will head into our next segment, which will be about college football. We'll move on to campus. We'll break down some of the crazy games from last week and look ahead to the weekend ahead. Big weekend coming up in the Pac-12. Especially the Pac-12 South. A number of the ranked teams from the Pac-12 South will be facing up against ranked teams and some really tough opponents. So we'll be touching on that. And after my show, make sure you stay tuned for Uncovered with DJ Soundwave. That will be coming to you live from 5 to 6 p.m. here on Penguin Radio. Again, she will be taking a look at cover artists on YouTube. And I think that's a very interesting subject matter, something that we see a lot of in pop culture. I mean, going back all the way when I was a kid with the Numa Numa dance, my lahi, my laha. I'm not even going to try. But where the guy was dancing in front of the... I mean, is that a cover artist? Even though he wasn't really singing, he was lip-syncing. I guess DJ Soundwave will be there to talk about that with you coming up in just a little bit. But while we're still here, we're going to talk about the NFL Week 3. Seems wild that we're already here. I feel like we're just getting excited about watching the Hall of Fame game. woohoo, preseason. Now we're already in week three. So some interesting, not a huge amount of huge marquee matchups, the juicy matchup, the Eagles, Cowboys, or Steelers, Ravens, Bears, Packers, those 49ers, Seahawks, those, juicy, tension-grabbing games. But there are some very interesting games on the slate this week. I would say some of the biggest attention-grabber games. First we'll look at the Bengals and the Ravens. Kind of already talked about that earlier with it being a huge game for the Ravens with them coming in at 0-2. Bengals at 2-0. Bengals, important game for them as well. This would be a big one for them to establish themselves in that tough AFC North to say, hey, we're a force to be reckoned with, and we are here to win this division and get a home playoff game and all of that mumbo-jumbo. But Ravens at home, it's going to be tough for the Bengals. They've had their struggles there in the past. They've won a few games there in the past as well, but I'm going to take Baltimore in this one, and here's why. Justin Forsett has to get going for Baltimore, and he will get going this week. And maybe not just in the run game. It's going to be tough to run on that Bengal defense, but out of the backfield, I think Justin Forsett needs to be a huge asset. Spread the field out and make it easier for himself to run and also maybe to get some big plays down the field. They've been a little bit hampered. Torrey Smith maybe was a bigger part of their offense than they thought. I mean, the one thing that he does well is take the top off the defense, and that's one thing that the Ravens have kind of not found too much of to this point, that big play. And Steve Smith, obviously still a great player, even at this point in his career, and to me, should absolutely be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. I mean, he's been a fantastic receiver for his entire career, over 1,000 yards almost seemingly every year that he's been healthy. And even now when he's in the last season of his career, still just putting up numbers, had over 100 yards receiving last week against the Raiders, but in a losing effort. It's another interesting game, and I kind of forgot to mention this 0-2 team in the last segment. But another surprising one is the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 0-2, and I know a lot of people that pick them, heck, to even make it to the Super Bowl. Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio, and you may hear him on Westwood One doing the Monday Night Football games. He predicted them to win the whole thing out of the NFC, not just win the NFC North, which to me is a little bit of a stretch, but to win the whole gosh darn thing. And you look at their roster and, you know, and the success they've had, and you would think that that could be a possibility, but they lose week one. They had the big lead against the Chargers in week one, and they lose that one. They were up 21-3, and the Chargers come back in the second half and win that one. Last week, they're on the road again and in Minnesota, and Adrian Peterson runs over, around, and through them, and they end up losing. And Matthew Stafford also gets dinged, but he did practice yesterday, and it sounds like he is going to be ready to go for this one this week. And they're facing off against the Denver Broncos. Sunday Night Football should be a tough game for Denver, playing on the road. And I'll say this about Detroit. Detroit is definitely a different team at home. That is a tough place to play now, Ford Field. Even Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, has had his fair share of struggles over there at that field. And that team just kind of feeds off that crowd, and especially that defense. I mean they're kind of known as a dirty, you know, they play a little dirty, they're mean, they're nasty. You know, they're going to hit you. Ndamukong Suh, he was going to kick players' helmets or whatever, but he's not on the team anymore. But I think this team definitely needs a win, and I think that they can definitely get one, especially with how they defend the run. Peyton Manning is probably going to be dropping back to pass quite a bit in this one. And if I'm the Lions in this game, I tell Ziggy Ansah and Haloti Ngata and all those talented defensive players to get in Peyton Manning's face. Because what we've seen, when pressure gets put on Peyton Manning, he makes mistakes. And, you know, that's when he's going to throw interceptions and you're going to get sacks and all of those positive things for your team. Fumbles, turnovers, anything. But when Peyton Manning's sitting back there, you know, he can just be Peyton Manning robo quarterback throwing to all of his weapons around the field. So that's going to be a huge deal. And on the other side of the ball, it's going to be no cupcake for Detroit. I mean, Denver's defense has been the strength of the team thus far, and most notably their defensive secondary headed by Aqib Talib, but their pass rush has also been very good with Von Miller and Brandon Marshall up front for Denver. Yes, the linebacker Brandon Marshall, not to be confused with the wide receiver named Brandon Marshall on the New York Jets, Jets. But in this game, with Detroit playing at home, I'm going to take Detroit. And it's going to be, to me, it's going to be a lower scoring game than I think a lot of people may think, just by seeing the sparkle of both teams' offenses. But as these offenses may sparkle with Detroit, with Megatron and Amir Abdullah and Golden Tate and all the weapons they have, the reason they will win a lot of their games is their defense, and their defense is going to get it done here. And I'm going to take them in a 20 to 13 win for Detroit, as they need to pick up that victory if they want to have any prayer of sticking with the Packers in that NFC North, because it looks to me like the Packers are definitely the team to beat in the NFC, with the defending champion Patriots being the team to beat in the AFC. The Patriots face off against the Jaguars at home, and Tom Brady should be able to get a victory in that one. The statistics definitely in favor of Tom Brady. If you look at AFC teams in the last 45 games coming to Gillette Stadium, get this, Tom Brady is 44-1. Just let that sink in for a minute and just think about how dominant that is and how dominant the New England Patriots are. Heck, they could have been playing with a ball that had zero PSI. I don't care. That is just absolutely absurd. And that team is a completely absurd. It should be... Man, I mean, I hope that this Deflategate thing just goes away and everybody just forgets about it. Because to me, it's completely irrelevant and people should not even be talking about it. And speaking of the other best team in the NFL right now, the Packers, they're playing on Monday Night Football this week against the Kansas City Chiefs at, over at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Even though it's September, it should look pretty green this time of year. The Packers and another team that plays really good at home with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has that consecutive attempts at home with no interceptions, over 500 attempts that goes all the way back to, I believe it's 2012, a game against the Vikings in late 2012 is the last time Aaron Rodgers threw an interception at home, which is in itself is a very crazy thing to think about. But we've seen the Green Bay struggle with Kansas City in the past. You may remember a number of years ago when the Packers had the undefeated season going the year after they won the Super Bowl. The first loss the Packers had that season was to Kansas City. Aaron Rodgers ended up being on his back for half of that game. And that's where Green Bay has struggled the most with Kansas City is with that pass rush. And it's easy to see with Houston and Tamba Lali and the guys in the middle, and it's a tough defense, and offensively the Chiefs are definitely better this season with Jeremy Maclin on the outside giving them a little bit of help. And this should be definitely an interesting game, especially the way the Chiefs came off that tough one last week against the Broncos where looks like they were headed to overtime and Charles fumbles the ball with 30 seconds left and the Broncos end up winning the game. But the Chiefs are coming off a long week as they played last Thursday and now they're getting to play on Monday, which is an extra day, which will mean for the Chiefs that they'll probably be healthy. But with all those things said, I definitely still have to go with Green Bay. They definitely look to be one of the best teams in the NFL. The defense with their young secondary looks to be improved from a year ago, and they did pretty well against the run last week with Marshawn Lynch. He didn't do much, only had about, 41 yards rushing on, 41 yards rushing on 13 carries for Marshawn Lynch last week. So good job there. And an upset pick of the week, I'm going to go with the Vikings at home against the Chargers. Yeah, the Chargers. It's going to be a... I mean, I liked what I saw from Minnesota last week. I think we saw a little bit more of what we expected to see of the Vikings this year with Adrian Peterson and Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. I mean, it's Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have to be a world beater. He's just going to manage the game. Don't make many mistakes. And that's exactly what he did. And Adrian Peterson did his thing. They're going to be a tough team to beat, especially at home. And I think that they can get it done. It's going to be a very close game. Phillip Rivers is a grinder. He's not going to go away. Even if they fall down early, the Chargers love to make late comebacks and did it a lot last year. And I expect them to fight in this one, but I'll take the Vikings this week. All right, we're going to head to our next break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some college football. TCU in the news for the wrong reasons. Another blemish for the Big 12 will be coming up next here on Chalk Talk.
Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Young Chop on the beat.
Bandcamp.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jeff Safford. You're listening to Chalk Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Make sure we're just past the 4:30 hour here on a Tuesday afternoon. Make sure you stay tuned after this show as DJ Soundwave will be coming to you from 5 to 6 o'clock with Uncovered, a show on YouTube cover artists. And also, while we have a minute, we'll also give you a quick sports update from around just the general sports world, not just the NFL or college football world. The Yankees and Blue Jays are in the bottom of the second inning. Yankees have an early 2-0 lead with David Price, Brian McCann, RBI single, and Carlos Beltran with a sac fly knocking in A-Rod. Orioles with a 2-0 lead on the Washington Nationals. The Mets leading the Braves 1-0. The Brewers and the Cubs slated to go to action. Mariners Royals. The Giants in action against the Padres tonight. Chris Heston on the mound there. And in Spanish League Soccer, Atletico Madrid picked up a win 2-0 today. And also, Espanyol defeated Valencia. Kind of a surprise there. So that's a few news and notes. And just one other note that I wanted to bring up that's news just breaking a few minutes ago. Back to the NFL side of things. The Dallas Cowboys, as we were talking about their quarterback situation with Brandon Weeden, the Dallas Cowboys have acquired Matt Cassel from the Buffalo Bills. Matt Cassel was brought in that was thought to be the starter in Buffalo, but of course Tyrod Taylor has emerged in Buffalo as the starting quarterback there. So the Cowboys still plan on starting Brandon Weeden this week, and Cassel will be installed as a backup. And my thought is this is like an insurance policy. If Brandon Weeden doesn't pan out at all, they can go to Cassel. And this may be something if they can't find a quarterback to do something for him, it may be a something really difficult. They may have to really dig deep to find somebody. Maybe a guy like Matt Flynn who's bounced around. Or maybe somebody from off the couch. No, no, I'm not Brett Favre. I'm not going there. Don't worry. I'm talking about Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton just retired last year. Maybe they could get him to come back. I mean, he's been the savior of so many franchises over the years. As he's been able to step in at seemingly a moment's notice. Maybe, I mean, the Cowboys, I mean, they're just, their main objective is to stay in this thing until Tony Romo can come back. And they're in kind of a similar position than the Packers were in a couple years ago when Aaron Rodgers also broke his collarbone. And the Packers were able to turn things around and still make the playoffs that season with that crazy win on the road against the Bears. All right, now we're going to move on to our NCAA talk, as the big news coming out today out of the college football world has to be the Texas Christian University story with their football team. Their team ranked number 3 in the nation, and two of their players, Mike Tua'ua and Andre Pettis Wilson, have been arrested on felony bodily injuries and robbery. Coach Patterson from TCU has spoke out kind of in support of Tua'ua while saying that if he made a mistake, but, and he also kind of made a jab at Baylor, but he said, quote, it's nothing like that's been going on, nothing that's as bad as what's happened south of here, making a jab at Baylor with their situation, with their defensive end, Okumachu, who came over from Boise State and was charged with assault on a Baylor female soccer player, which is just kind of a bad look there. But man, what a statement there from Patterson, just straight up boom roasting Baylor when they're in the middle of a scandal. It's like, whoa, turn it down there a notch there, Coach Patterson. But he's obviously very confident that whatever these players were involved in is nothing too terrible. And I mean, and at this point, we don't know what happened, and you know, we don't know this, a lot of the specifics of what happened. So I think we should leave it at that, and we should not attack TCU and really bring a lot of these issues up, because I mean, I know how interesting these issues can get and where we are in society with Twitter and social media, if, you know, with all the social right activists would, you know, coming for TCU's athletic director's head because all this stuff. No. Let's not go there yet. And this is kind of a weird story. Now, going back to some of the games from last week, wow. I think that's just the only way you can describe it from what happened last week. I mean, we saw a little bit of everything with Alabama going down against Ole Miss. Definitely that's the big story. It was Alabama's first loss at home since Johnny Manziel pulled off that great victory with Texas A&M back in 2012. You know, and there was a lot of similarities to that game. I mean, with Chad Kelly and that Ole Miss offense chucking the ball around the field and sometimes getting a little lucky, well, very lucky. I wonder if you were to do a scientific experiment, which play was luckier? Auburn's play 2 years ago with the Jordan Lewis catch, or the play last week where the 67-yard touchdown where Kelly was under pressure, just kind of threw it up in the air and bounced off an Alabama player's helmet and right in to the hands of an Ole Miss wide receiver who took it the rest of the way for 6. But it wasn't just that play for the Rebels. They were able to do a lot of great things, and they were able to kind of stop the momentum of the Crimson Tide, because it looked like for a while that the Crimson Tide were on a mission to make this crazy comeback and, you know, pull pull out a miracle at home, but Ole Miss was able to stop them, and they were able to quit that from happening, and now they are ranked number 3 in the country and are definitely in the mix in the SEC West and in the mix for the college football playoff. But we saw some top 10 teams go down, other top teams go down. Alabama was one. USC was another one. That was a very surprising loss for the Trojans, as you know, everybody kind of seemed to think that this was going to be the year for USC to get back to prominence, you know, get back to national championship contention, get back to those glory days that Pete Carroll had when they had Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Clay Matthews and Cushing and that great defense and offensive players. I mean, just everything. And it hasn't been the lack of talent for the Trojans. Heck no. I mean, Cody Kessler is the best, probably the best quarterback in the Pac-12. If it's not him, who is it? I mean, crickets. Nobody. He's definitely the most talented player, and he's got talented athletes, five-star athletes all over the field, but something about the Trojans, they just have not been able to put it all together. And this game has been definitely one that's a bit concerning, especially when you got maybe a tougher test coming up this week, as USC is headed to Tempe, headed to the desert to face up against ASU, Arizona State. They were ranked in the top 15 coming into this season, fell out of the rankings after having a tough game against Texas A&M to start off the year, but Mark Berkovici and ASU had a lot of success against USC last year. Berkovici threw for over 500 yards. Of course, had that crazy Hail Mary at the end of the game to seal the victory for the Sun Devils. And playing at home this time, and frankly, with more experience, I think Sun Devils should be playing positive in front of their home crowd. And that crowd is going to be fired up. It's going to be hot. You know, it's Arizona, and I'm not sure if it's going to be quite as hot. I see that the temperatures have dropped under 90 degrees today in Phoenix, but I'm not sure what the extended forecast will be up there in the desert. And sticking to the desert, another really big matchup in the Pac-12 South is the matchup between the UCLA Bruins and the Arizona Wildcats. Another game just east of Phoenix over Tempe is over in Tucson, Arizona. Should be a fun matchup. Scooby Wright may be coming back for the Arizona Wildcats. Scooby Wright, the Butt Kiss Award winner from last year. Actually, Scooby Wright is a local kid. He's from just up the road here in Santa Rosa, went to school at Cardinal Newman High School under Paul Cronin over at Cardinal Newman. Very good high school football program. They played in the state championship game a couple times over the last 10 years or so, but definitely has been the most productive and definitely the most successful player in that program over the last 10 years or so, and just such a difference maker on that defense. I mean, we saw him last year. He had that huge game up in Eugene against Marcus Mariota when he had that strip fumble sack to steal that upset win against the Ducks last year. And their only regular season loss. And he had multiple other games where he just flat out takes the game over. He makes impact plays on defense, similar to what J.J. Watt does in the NFL, where he not only is he dominant on defense, but he can make game-breaking plays. You know, he can get that sack fumble or an interception return for a touchdown or whatever type of big play you need. Scooby Wright is the guy to go out there and get it. And when you got a guy like that on the field, it just makes it easier for everybody else in your entire defense. And especially when you got an offense the way like Arizona does, who's really been performing well. Rich Rodriguez's offense is kind of running all cylinders now. Solomon, the quarterback, kind of picking up where he left off in his freshman year, completing close to 70% of his passes. They're averaging almost 55 points per game, coming at just over 54. That's a pretty impressive number, but it is against cupcake opponents. They haven't really played anybody that great, where UCLA has played Virginia and got really a tough test from BYU last week. Game came down to the final possession. Connor Mangum couldn't pull it out in the end this time. But should definitely be an interesting game. I definitely like the Wildcats at home in this one. They're definitely, I think, a team that's more established. They made it to the Pac-12 championship last year. They have the established quarterback, where UCLA doesn't. They're playing with a true freshman, playing at home. I like the Wildcats in this game. The other game I mentioned, the Trojans and the Sun Devils, I'm going to go with the Trojans. I really think that they may not be an elite team, but USC, to me, still can be a top 25 caliber team. I just don't know if they're a playoff caliber team. And we can really, we'll be able to judge a lot of that by the performance that they have this week. You know, this, to me, that game is a elimination game for the playoff. If you want to have any prayer of making it to the playoff, two losses isn't going to cut it, and both teams have won. So the loser of that game will pretty much be done in terms of the playoff race. And USC, with two conference losses, may be out of the conference race altogether. Another interesting matchup in the Pac-12, mentioned the Oregon Ducks and Marcus Mariota, but the Marcus Mariota-less Oregon Ducks will be taking on the Utah Utes. The Ducks coming in at number 13, the Utes at 18. And this game from Autzen Stadium could be one of the more interesting games of the weekend. It's a primetime game, so it's going to be, so Autzen Stadium is going to be cranked up. The students, they're actually on a quarter system up there in Eugene, and the students are just getting on to campus this week. So that stadium's probably going to be extra fired up, just because it's the first student game, really, of the year. So that should be, I mean, not that Autzen isn't always fired up to begin with, but it should be extra fired up for this one. And Vernon Adams looks to be a go. He was in pads practicing yesterday with the Ducks, was seen also today. So looks like that right index finger that he broke and played with against Michigan State, looks like that's going to be all right, and he's going to give it a go. And also Travis Wilson, the quarterback from Utah, also has a shoulder injury that he injured against Utah State 2 weeks ago. So he has been a little bit up in the air, but the early indication is that he will play for the Utes. And the Utes are definitely a team that have a lot of experience. Wilson at quarterback, and also Devontae Booker in the backfield, probably the best running back in the Pac-12. If, you know, he's just an all-purpose back at his finest. You know, he can run it in between the tackles. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can block for you on third down. I mean, to me, this guy is exactly what you're looking for out of a running back on any football team. He could get into any system and be successful. I guarantee it, and I think he definitely could be a successful player at the next level. And for this game, I like the Ducks at home. The Ducks, even though they're ranked number 13, have the one loss. It was to number 2 Michigan State. And let's be frank here. The Oregon Ducks should have taken the lead in that game. I mean, I know we're saying woulda, coulda, shoulda, but Vernon Adams, with 2 minutes left in that game, had a wide open Brandon Marshall going down the sideline, and he just flat out missed him. You know, if he completes that, who knows? Maybe Michigan State drives down the field and puts together a game-winning drive. Maybe they don't. You know, it's woulda, coulda, shoulda moment, but the fact of the matter is that Oregon was right in that game against a very, very good Michigan State team on the road. So this team is definitely nothing to snooze at this year, and definitely still the front runner to win the Pac-12 in my mind. Outside of the Pac-12, we still got some other interesting matchups to take a look at. One interesting one that caught my eye was Texas Tech hosting TCU. Now, Texas Tech is undefeated, and they just beat Arkansas last week up in Arkansas, over in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and there was a little bit of a post-game spat between Cliff Kingsbury and Brent Bielema. I thought that was kind of comical. Honestly, I don't know if any of you followed that, but it's kind of like there was something that Brent Bielema said that irked him in the offseason that irked Kingsbury, and he came back and fired back at Bielema, and then Bielema fired back at Kingsbury, and it's kind of a back and forth little spat. Kind of funny, but I mean, this is a big game. It's definitely a trap game. Texas Tech definitely has the offensive ability to be able to score a lot of points and score them fast, and they have the added advantage of playing at home, playing with the crowd. Maybe they'll be able to rattle Boykin a little bit and maybe put some pressure on him, get some turnovers, and who knows? You know, maybe TCU is headed for an upset this week. You never know in college football, and that's what makes it the most fun, I think. That's that unpredictability of it. A couple interesting matchups in the SEC. Two old rivals, Tennessee and Florida, will be duking it out. Auburn and Mississippi State, both teams kind of licking their wounds a little bit after tough losses. Mississippi State lost to LSU a couple weeks back, and Auburn also lost to LSU last week, but lost in a much more ugly fashion as Leonard Fournette also ran over, through, and around that defense for over 200 yards after saying that it was going to be an easy task to stop Fournette in the media. Maybe not the smartest move there by by the Auburn Tigers, but I'm sure we will be in for another really fun week of college football. We'll be back to talk to you all about it next week. Unfortunately, we are running out of time here on Chalk Talk. It's been a great hour talking to you guys, but I got a show coming up right after me at 5 o'clock, so I got to get out of here. So you have been listening to Chalk Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday to my show from 4 to 5 o'clock, where we will be hitting on same topics we hit on today, and who knows, maybe some more fun stuff as well. You never know. So have a great rest of your day, everybody, and make sure you stay tuned for Uncovered with DJ Soundwave, and that's coming up next in just a minute. Have a great night, everybody. Tumbling down.